Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time to grab your board. No, not that kind of board. We're talking about nonprofit boards as we do board talk with the woman who's never bored to talk about this subject, Nelma Maddox. Welcome.
Thanks, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing good today here. Board talk. How can we talk about nonprofit boards? That sounds boring.
This is never boring. My guests
it's never
are,
boring.
My
because,
guests are not boring.
Because you found that there's a... Who knew there were kids on boards? There were youth boards. I didn't know that. And you've got one in today here.
That's right. I'm going to introduce Anaya Green. And sometimes you'll hear Amanda speak as well. She's on the board as well. So when I start asking questions of Amanda, you will not see her on screen, but do not be alarmed. She's in the room.
And she's the voice of God.
She's the voice of God,
speaking.
Just like Paul today.
That's right. She'll be off camera talking here.
Like voice of mom, voice of God, even.
I think mom's higher.
Very cool. At least we agree. All right. So let's get started. How about you tell me a little bit about the Max Love Project? It is one of the nonprofits in Orange County. I like to say this is my third show. I do want to shout out to Sapphira Robertson, who's from Miracles for Kids, who put us all together today. I'll probably have her as a guest coming in soon, but today we get to have the honor of having you talk a little bit about your passion, which is Max Love Project. I'm super excited to hear about it. Tell me.
Sorry, I probably shouldn't say it. Max Love is a nonprofit that benefits the families and the kids and families of pediatric cancer. I don't know what we're just
saying. That sounds good.
Survivors.
These are kids that have pediatric cancer or their parents?
So we support the entire family. So from diagnosis to sometimes grief and everything in between. So we focus on not just surviving, but thriving because everybody's in a different position when it comes to your journey. So in general, we support the entire family.
That sounds wonderful. And now you shared with us just before you got on the air that September is what kind of special month, Amanda?
September is also Childhood Cancer Awareness Month.
Wow.
So thank you for having us this month.
We knew that. That's why we set this up.
Yes, of course. Nothing happens by accident. Right. We appreciate it.
I agree with that. So how long have you been involved, Amanda?
I like to say unofficially from its inception. Fun backstory. Max is a little boy who is the heart and soul behind Max Love Project. Audra started and her husband started this nonprofit really grassroots from the heart because their son was diagnosed with cancer. Both kids were diagnosed a few months apart. So in the beginning, we were just moms trying to figure out a way through this.
Two kids diagnosed with cancer?
Yes. So fun fact, Anaya is a pediatric cancer survivor. So that's how we found Audra. We were friends throughout diagnosis and really just leaned on each other because it's a club you don't want to be a part of.
No, yeah.
And Anaya kind of befriended Max, or they became friends before we became friends as moms. So she would always talk about Max. I didn't know who Max was. I thought it was like a hallucination from her chemo until one of the nurses put us all in communication. And it was really nice to see them just be kids without the chemo, without the crying, without, and just be able to focus on that. And that was my first real mom friend through cancer, somebody that we didn't have the same diagnosis, but she got everything that I was feeling. And we were able to create a safe space just through, I don't want to say.
You both went through the same struggle.
But yeah, we went through the same struggle. And it was really nice to have a soft place to land, somebody that you didn't have to curse your words with or mix how you feel or try and protect their feelings. If I said something, she got it. And so
which
did
is
other
everything
moms.
We're going to do today here. We're going to guard our words and be careful. We don't want to say the wrong thing and all that. It's very difficult. Yeah.
So it was really nice to be able to connect as friends first. And I, as many people do, really love her fierce mom spirit.
That's awesome.
Because that's what started Max Love Project. Just parents that very much wanted to figure out how to make a difference for their kids and by way took all of us along and helped us help our kids throughout their journey.
We'll definitely go back to talk about Audra and Max, but I would love to hear how you met Max and maybe share a Max story.
I don't remember very well. I was really little. I just remember there was always for all of our appointments, not just in the front room, but there was always a playroom in the hospital. And I don't know why, but we would always be in there at the same time.
How funny.
So I think it was, which I don't really think it was me that initiated it because I was a very shy child, but we just played together every single day, basically. And
how old were you? How old was Max? You were on the same age, or?
He's, I think, a year older than me.
Okay.
But I was around 2 or 3, so he would have been like 4 or 5.
That sounds really special, though. And it sounds like he was attracted to you in terms of wanting to parallel play. That's what we call it. And
yeah.
I'm also involved in other organizations where play is really important because it helps you develop your brain. Fascinating. So that's really cool. So anything else to share about those memories? That must have been hard, but it sounds like your mom and Max's mom, Audra, made it really easy for you to not necessarily remember the hard parts of that time.
Yeah.
But is there anything about that time that you want to share that has left an impression on you?
Can I talk about the Twix?
You can talk about anything you want. It's up to you and your mom.
Anything you want.
My mother and Miss Audra would a little bit bribe the nurses to get ice cream from the freezer.
You had to bribe them to get ice cream.
I remember me and Max would be in the rooms playing, and I would see them sneaking and eating their ice cream, and I would always be like, I want some, but we weren't allowed to have sugar. So we were so jealous.
The things you do to get through.
I think it's amazing. So really, what now you know, right? Now as a senior in high school, what they were doing. Yeah. A lot of times when you get in with all the nurses, you and Max ended up probably getting special treatment, as did they. So
I got to ask you two hard questions just because I can't avoid it. So this was how long ago? When was this? You said you were 2 or 3 and you're now in high school?
Yes.
So you got through, are you cancer free now? Or are you still in treatment? Or
I'm 10 years cancer free.
10 years cancer free. Hooray.
Okay, we're allowed to clap on the mic.
Yes.
And then I have to ask the other hard question, what happened with Max? Did Max survive?
Max is now a high school graduate.
Oh, thank
goodness. He is still thriving, and he's actually in college now. So he's doing amazing.
I was afraid to ask that maybe Max didn't make it. Max didn't make the journey through cancer.
But you know what? I appreciate you asking and trying to ask in a gentle, respectful
way.
Because that's a reality, right?
Yeah.
We can talk about boards, but especially for the month of September, the fact is, you pray to make it to remission. Some kids make it to remission and nothing is normal after that.
Yeah.
And then some kids that you start treatment with don't make it.
Yeah.
So there's so many variables. There's so many layers to the entire process. And I think that's what makes Max Love really unique to other nonprofits, because they see you through that entire process, and it's other moms and other warriors and grief moms. And so no matter where you fall in between your journey with pediatric cancer, there's always somebody that gets it, somebody that rallies behind you, whether it's nutrition or a cookbook or a cooking class for the kids. There's always a sense of community, because a lot of kids we started with didn't make it to remission.
Well, which I'm so sorry.
Do we have
for
any statistic? I have no idea how many kids get cancer and how many.
So on average, about 46 kids per day their parents are going to hear the sad news that your child has cancer of some sort in the pediatric space. Not to get too political, but there's also things that are affecting research and things like that. So having these podcasts are very important to shine light on nonprofits, small and large, that are doing something in that space.
Talk to us a little bit about how you ended up on nutrition being the most important part.
My next question,
So Max had a tumor that's inoperable. His parents, they exhausted all of their treatment options and everything. But because thriving through this was very important to them, she has a culinary background. So she took that approach, like outside of all of the traditional things, what can I do as a mom? Because it's also really important when you hear those words, you're helpless. Mm. Throughout the entire journey, you're helpless. And you don't really think in terms of food. Because if we're being very honest, the hospital doesn't focus on that. They're like, whatever stays down, that's a blessing. We'll celebrate that. We got so well with the people in the cafeteria, they would make special off-menu items for us because she was a picky eater. So she was really able to bridge the gap in her love and fierceness for her child while teaching us as parents going through it. Mm-hmm. Also, that is the one thing that we can control.
Absolutely.
So she just shined light from beginning to end on, hey, these are small changes that we could make with our diet and nutrition and mindfulness, that it's not the cure-all or anything. Everybody has a different belief.
So what does your program do then? Just teach? Is it there to just walk beside them and help support them? Or is it there to teach them you can play a role? There is something you can do, like with nutrition?
I love that question. So what's unique in my view of Max Love Project? So specific to nutrition, I'll start there. So we host fierce food classes. We teach the kids that the foods are fierce foods. These are foods that are
amazing for your... Your daughter's smiling. Even saying that, she's smiling. When you say that.
Foods that are amazing for your body. Anaya has always been a picky eater. So Max Love hosts fierce food classes where the warrior and their siblings can sign up for a class. They teach you how to make healthy foods with sustainably, mindfully sourced veggies and produce. We work a lot with Tanaka Farms.
Oh, yeah.
And so they host these classes. Max Love provides everything for the families, where the kids now, if you tell a kid beets is healthy for you, they're going to look at you like you're crazy most of the time.
And who cares?
And who cares? So what's cool is that most kids, they'll at least try it if they make it. So regardless of what the age range is, they're hands-on, they're cooking, they're getting in the kitchen. And they're being taught that even though you have whatever your diagnosis might happen to be, this is a fierce food that you can put in your body to make a difference.
That is phenomenal. I was going to just share a point with you. My background is in pharmaceuticals, so this is obviously not my day job, but I worked for a company, I won't say who, just for fear of, but it's a good thing in that they do have one of the biologics for cancer, obviously for adult patients. I'm not sure if they've branded into children now, but they provide a cookbook.
Really?
And it's something that has been a very big point in terms of wanting to get natural, wholesome solutions to what you're going through. So I think that's wonderful.
A pharmaceutical company teaching you how to eat. Oh, what a wonderful idea.
I know, right?
Wow.
What a parallel.
Yeah, they're really unbelievable. I was going to ask Anaya at this point, though, two things. One is, what was the favorite meal that you've made in one of those classes?
Don't look at your mom. Come on, yeah, tell us the truth.
She knows exactly what I'm going to say. When I was little, I used to hate avocados, like with every bone, every nerve in my body. And we had a cooking class where we made guacamole, and I will now eat avocados as a snack. It was probably my favorite thing ever of all of them that we've done.
So great. Okay, and then it's not lost on me. You're in the Culinary Institute at your current high school.
Yes.
Is that what you said? Okay,
yes.
So that's unbelievable. Tell me what you want to continue to do with that.
My mom, can I?
Tell it.
You keep asking her for permission. You can say anything.
Mom,
we got mom
the
off the camera. Well, you can say anything.
My mom used to do cake pop, and she used to do like candy tables and all of that like fun, creative stuff. And within my 4 years of being in a culinary school, I learned that I don't like doing, like, I wouldn't want to work in a restaurant where I like cook all the time. I would rather be like one of the ladies, like old ladies making cakes.
The old lady. Why are they old
like,
ladies?
I don't know, because I want
to
do it for like my entire life probably.
So it could be a business rather than you're in the back just making stuff rather than
that's so
serving. I like the creative aspect of it, not just looking like a robot.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And then here's what's amazing about what you're doing with Max Love Project is you could definitely come back, possibly be on the board. We'll talk a little bit about we'll veer off and talk a little bit about the youth board, because I think that's very unique. Paul, I'm teaching, is that every person I've come in here with has a youth board, which is very unique.
Who knew? Never heard of such a thing.
We taught him something.
Yeah.
He's been at this for 30 years. But tell me a little bit about that. Tell me about the board and then what you guys do and what decisions you make for Max Love Project.
For us, I think we don't make very many decisions other than we assist.
Okay.
So
like the honesty.
For Max Love, there's things like we have pickleball tournaments somehow.
Oh, no way.
We had one that was recent, like the Halloween. We did one that was Halloween-y.
Okay.
So everybody dressed up and we played pickleball.
You're using all these food words, pickle and weenie. Is that because you're in the cooking class here?
We had...
Everything is a food awesome. Double entendre here, double meaning.
We had, like, craft tables and, like,
so you mostly assist with the little kids and the families and the siblings.
We don't get to make very many big decisions, but I think that's good because, in my opinion, when I was little and when I was sick, and I assume my sister also felt the same, it would have been nice to, like, be around other kids outside of the hospital. It wasn't very often, but in the rare times that we were outside of the hospital.
I love that. And I love that view a lot. I'm sure it means
so
a lot.
So why do they bring mom and our host, esteemed host here, why do you bring youth into it and call it a board? Is it to get them involved? Is it to get their perspective? Is it to get them the labor to help do stuff? I don't know. Why do you bring kids into this?
I think it's several reasons. The main reason is that a lot of the kids on our board are also survivors of some capacity or have been touched by pediatric cancer in some way. Because nutrition is such a big part of the teaching aspect of MaxLove, because it's where you can make a difference in your day-to-day life, because once you hit survivorship, you're still going to need that nutrition for the rest of your life.
Good point.
So it was really important that they felt like they were making a tangible difference. Mm-hmm. And then when we do fundraisers and different things, it still encompasses some sort of culinary aspect. So we had almost Chopped recently, where it's like a dinner to raise funds and raise awareness. But all of our, not all, but a lot of our junior board members were highlighted chefs for these events, and they got to help and be hands-on. But I think most importantly, it's getting them ready now to realize that their voices matter.
Yeah.
In any capacity, in any facet, even outside of that.
And are you training them to take over someday? Is that, I get that sense that this is teaching them what it's like to run an organization, and maybe they'll continue that work someday.
I think that's the hope. I obviously can't speak for our amazing founder, but I think that it's a uniformed view that we're teaching them more than just how to function in the cancer space. We're teaching them how to be business owners, how to make your voice count in some capacity or the next, whether it be advocating for your health, whether it be advocating in a business space, or one day realizing that, hey, you know what, giving back is fulfilling to me. I want to continue this.
Yeah, first of all, I think one of the things that really appeals to me about a youth board is that they're able to watch the actual board and hopefully you're modeling the behavior.
Absolutely.
The ones that I see work really well are the ones that I'm going to shout them out, because Lion's Heart has a youth board, and we actually invite board members, the youth board, to sit in on our board meetings. So just be a suggestion.
And that's a rarity. Not everybody does that.
The second board we brought in was another one where it was just, we have some tasks and that's what we do. And I'm encouraging, and that's what my show is about, is encouraging the merging of the youth board and the adult board in order to go through action together and be able to unite. And my vision is that somebody like Anaya comes back and is actually on the board next to you, side by side.
She learns this habit. Yeah. She gets something. So, Anaya, I got to ask you the question I asked the other kids. I know why they want you to do it. They want you to learn. They want you to grow. They want you to take over for them someday. They need your help in putting these things on.
Yeah.
Why do you do it?
I've answered this question. I don't know why I paused.
It's okay. One kid said, because my mom made me.
That was my son.
My mom didn't make me, I promise. I think, in my opinion, I don't know if it's the same for, like, my sister, because my sister does too. I think it's important, especially as somebody who was sick, to not only just to see kids that were once in my place doing something good, but also because MaxLove was such an impact to me, I want to be the same impact to somebody else.
I think that is beautiful. I don't know how we don't end there, Paul. I mean, I think that is just like the sweetest.
We're right at the end here. And I got to be honest, when I was your age in high school, last thing I thought about was anybody but me.
Absolutely.
It was all about me. I got to do that. When do I get what I want? I don't want to do this. I don't want to eat this. It was all, everything sentence started with I, never started with we. I'm impressed.
Amanda, can you please give the organization's website in order for somebody to give and support?
Or join, or participate.
Talk about, maybe attend some of your events.
So it's maxloveproject.org.
Okay.
And that's one word?
One word, all one word. Okay. You can put it in Google. You can ask ChatGPT, all the fun things. We're also on social media. Very accessible for most people. We're local here out of Orange County. So we can always be found. You can always reach out. Also, really importantly, if there's anybody listening to this that's impacted by pediatric cancer at all, we're always here to help, love on the family, provide resources if you need. We also have cookbooks that you can purchase on the website as
Amazing.
Well. If any of our listeners would like to try out some of the fun recipes. And then also,
I want you to come back and make something here.
Of course.
And then we'll eat it.
Amazing.
And I'll make a face and go, oh, beets, yuck.
I was going to start with beets. I'm glad you said that. Also, really importantly, through Max Love, speaking about the board, my oldest daughter is now at Howard University.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Thank you so much. I'm super proud of both of them. But one of the things that, why I said what I said earlier about the board and the approach with the kids. She's at Howard University, living her big girl life, and she very much wanted to give back still, even though she's away from Cali, away from the cancer space.
Away from mom, who's telling her she'd do.
Away from mom, sad face. And it's something she still very much wanted to do. Through the Max Love Avenue, they have their own initiative called the Pinky Promise, where they do a lot to give back specifically to our Max Love families.
Oh, I love that.
I was very proud when they started it with the love and support of our Max Love family and team. But they, so far, this year will be their third year hosting a toy drive at Tanaka Farms every year.
Okay.
They've already helped over 3,000 families between CHLA and Children's Hospital.
Wonderful.
So those are the types of movements that you see with these kids when they go to college. They still very much want to turn around and give back and make a difference. So you can also search the Pinky Promise on Instagram. They're doing amazing things.
Mom, I think you just came up with the secret sauce. We'll end with another food and a word.
A food, yes. Love it.
The secret sauce.
What's the secret sauce?
To make kids not just hang around and I don't know, and I don't want to do anything, and to become people in the world, community.
Love it. That's right. To me, I think we should end there. I say stay purpose, stay action-oriented, and thanks for listening.
Absolutely. Continue to be intentional.
Wow, great stuff. If you want to hear more, there's only one place to do it, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.